Hey, it's Christine from Storyworthy. Today on the show, author Amber Tozer talks about volunteering at a school.
Their hair's messed up. There's like stains on their pants. Their shoes are untied. They're just this ragtag group of high school boys. So they're being really disruptive. So Nick takes them outside. So I run outside and Nick's like, Tyler ran away. We have no idea where he is. And then he's like, so I sent two other kids to go find him. I'm like, what? Nick, now three kids are missing?
Today on the show, author Amber Tozer talks about her life in England and volunteering at a school. Stay close.
Hey, this is Amber Tozer, and you're listening to Storyworthy.
My name is Christine Blackburn, and I'm coming to you from Los Angeles, California. If you're a longtime fan of the show or a new listener, welcome to Storyworthy. Now, I hope you guys enjoyed the show last week with comedian. He's not really a comedian. He's more of a writer and actually a speech. He teaches people how to tell speeches. Anyway, great guy. His name's Chris Corbell, and he talked about how he became an artist. And I think really what he was talking about is how he gave himself permission to be an artist. You know what I mean?
That's beautiful.
Because a lot of people, you know, they're creative, but they don't know how to make that into like a life. You know what I mean? Because you have to, except you're going to be poor. That's the first thing.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, you guys, go back, listen to Chris Corbell, but not today. Because today I'm here with a great friend, an old friend. Not old, old, but a friend I've known for at least 15 years, I'd say.
Yep.
But I haven't seen her in so long because she now lives across the pond, as it were, in England. Amber Tozer's here, you guys. And Amber has been on the show before. Amber, you talked about the coyote story, right?
Yeah, the coyote story. And I think, did I tell the mattress story? How I sold mattresses?
Two stories.
Yes. Thanks for having me.
Okay, so in one sentence each, tell me what the, I mean, I remember, but tell the audience.
I ran a black market mattress business on Craigslist. And then while I was dog sitting, it got attacked by a coyote, but it survived.
Yeah. You got, wait, say that last one again.
While I was pet sitting a dog, the dog got attacked by a coyote and it survived.
You saw that happen as well, right?
Yeah.
I remember that story so well because then you just were so scared, obviously, because you saw the coyote come into the yard, take the dog, jump across the fence.
Yeah. Oh my God, you have a good memory. Yes.
And then you were like freaking out and you don't drink alcohol anymore, but you went to the alcohol cabinet and you're like ready to just drink.
Yeah, I was ready to relapse.
What are you going to tell
exactly. Those
homeowners when they come home and they say, how's the dog? And you say, well, in fact, he's got eaten by a coyote. And tell everybody what.
And I trashed your house.
Yeah.
I'm so sorry.
Tell everybody what. Yeah, I relapsed. And tell everybody what the upshot of that story is.
Well, so, yeah, the dog came back. I was getting ready to take a drink. And I was like, oh, everyone's going to understand this relapse. You know, the dog I was watching just was kidnapped and murdered by a coyote. So I'm there and, you know, right before I dive into the booze cabinet, the dog runs back into the yard. And it was a tiny little Bichon poodle-esque dog and totally fine. Took it to the vet, totally fine. And I didn't tell the owners till they came back.
Is such a crazy story.
They gave me an extra $100.
That's good. They
should
have.
Yeah, I mean,
no kidding. I mean, that's like it's like a rat to a coyote. It's so small.
I have no idea how it survived. I think it played dead, and then the coyote sort of maybe might have had to negotiate a fence or a tough terrain, and that's when Latte escaped, because it played dead.
Latte. I think playing dead would be the most nerve-wracking, hardest thing to do, like in any sense, like whether you're playing like dead because you're, you know, in a battle with a bear.
Right.
Or like even if you're being raped.
Right.
I mean, oh my God.
This got dark.
I wanted to take it downtown, but like to pretend you're asleep is not easy.
No. I would do it in a like a shooting, I would pretend I was dead.
Like there if you go on the bank floor, like, okay, so they come in, shoot up a bank. Are you going to play dead yes. or are you running for the back door?
One of the two. I'm not a hero. I'm going to play dead or run.
Yeah. You know what I would do? I'd crawl over on my belly like a snake to the shooter, and I'd tie his shoelaces together. And then when he tries to escape, he'd be like, womp, womp.
You're like, perfect time for a joke.
Anyway, I'm super happy you're here, Amber. This is really a treat. And today you bring forth the topic volunteering at school.
Edgy.
Well, no, the thing that's funny about this topic is like, I volunteer. Well, not... I have to admit, now my daughter's in seventh grade, and as you get older, as the kids get older, I mean, yeah, sure, I'm the room parent.
Yeah.
That's a given. But I don't, like, do the bake sale anymore. I don't do, you know, as much as I used to. Because at one point, it was as if I was an employee at the school.
Right,
but not
right.
making any money.
I think as you get older, you don't care if people like you. Do you know what I mean? You don't care. You're like, oh, I don't care if you don't think I'm good for not baking cookies.
Well, the thing is, there's a lot of it, though, is like associated like with my child in terms of like, I want to be around seeing what she's up yeah. to, keeping a third eye on things. And I have just the one child, which was very planned. Do you uh-huh. know what I mean?
Yeah.
To have just the one.
Right.
Because I am interested as the days go by. Now, I don't care about 4 and 5 year olds anymore.
Right.
I'm at 13. But,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
But I'm just saying, like, I do try. So the one way to do that is, of course, to be involved and to volunteer.
Yeah.
So I do it a lot. But I will say that, like, first of all, the teachers are 20 years younger than me. Mm-hmm. So, like, they don't call me ma'am, but they practically do.
Right.
But it's fun to see how things are done, and I'm very open-minded. So I try to just kind of be a fly on the wall when I volunteer at my kid's school.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, there's only so much that you can... You got to let the teachers take the lead. That's
well,
what
yeah,
I
I'm
find.
Not trained.
You know, it's... Yeah, and... I when I volunteer, I don't want to be super responsible for anything. I just sort of want to do what I'm told and help out.
Absolutely. Yeah, yeah, I just yeah. want to be a body, and that's what I'm giving to you, like just being flexible right now.
Yes.
That being said, one of our teachers, like last week, I'm, you know, chaperoning a field trip as I do, which was really just walking to the park, and then they screwed around, and then we walked back. But anyway, they quickly forget that an adult is present. Do you know what I mean? The kids. Mm-hmm. And they act like themselves, which is good. And everybody does. And anyway, so in one of my earbuds, I have the impeachment hearings going on.
Fun stuff.
Well, I'm addicted to it. I just am. And mm-hmm. I'm going to talk to you about that because you're living in England. I'm anxious to hear what they think of us, although I think I know. Anyway, so I'm listening to the impeachment hearings. And I'm talking to the teacher. And I say... she says, what are you listening to? And I said, oh, the impeachment hearings. Like, I just can't even believe it. And she's like, I just don't follow politics. I just don't follow it at all. And I'm thinking, please don't tell me you teach history.
Does she teach history?
No, she teaches math.
Oh, okay.
But still, it's like, oh, my God. You don't follow politics, like, at all? Like, shouldn't you have to know that a little bit?
Well, especially now. You got to sort of be tapped in. I think, like... 10 years ago, you could get away. Like, oh, everything's fine. It's not the right way to be, but I think, you know.
Well, at this point, they could just do, like, an impeachment watch, you know? Like, talk about it for 10 minutes every 3 or 4 days, or I don't know.
Yeah, history's being made. They just think we're nuts. I mean, to talk about what they think of us in England, they think we're absolutely bonkers, but I think they like watching us like a train wreck,
mm-hmm.
you know? But, I mean, I think the thing that baffles them the most about... America in general, besides the crazy impeachment and besides that Trump's president in the first place, is gun violence and healthcare.
Yeah.
They just cannot wrap their head around that anybody can have a gun and that we all could potentially go dead because of a trip to the hospital. They just are like...
Oh, yeah. That we could potentially go into debt.
Oh, yeah. Because, yeah, you know, healthcare is free. I mean, they pay more taxes over there, but healthcare is essentially free.
Have you had to have healthcare, any, like, needs over there since you've been there?
Yeah. Well, I've had just a couple of GP appointments, but I had to go to the dermatologist. Everything was free. I didn't pay a dime.
And
but my husband pays loads of taxes, so it's weird saying it's quote unquote free, but
well, it's the system.
But if I got cancer or if I was in a horrible accident and I needed a surgery, I wouldn't pay a dime.
I think people would be healthier in general knowing that they don't have to, you know, be so scared.
Or like perform minor surgeries on themselves.
Yeah, or yeah. be stressed out or just not get anything
yeah.
done.
Yeah.
People just don't even go to the doctors because right. they can't afford it or they don't want to.
Yeah,
yeah, that's a big difference for sure. But, you know, like in terms of them thinking we're crazy about our government, I mean, what's going on with
Brexit?
Meghan and Harry.
Oh.
No, I mean, the fixation on those people is so
I think Americans are more fixated.
Really?
Yeah, than the royals. I think English people... It's not that they don't care. I think they respect the queen, but they're not so obsessed with it.
But what about the tabloids? Because the tabloids are like, they come out so frequently and all the same. So what is all, who's buying those?
I don't know. I don't know. But it's funny because it's not, I feel like here it's more of a daily conversation. Over there, people aren't bringing it up at dinner. Do you know what over here? There. Maybe it's because I live in England and they want to ask me about it. But over there, people aren't talking about it at the dinner table. I don't know who's buying the tabloids.
You know, Meghan went to school right up here, like a mile away.
That's what I hear.
Yeah, like right over there at the Immaculate Heart.
Yeah.
And now they have her picture up, of course, in the school in a big gown.
So
it's the craziest thing. And I think her dad lives in this neighborhood, too, her real father.
Oh, really?
Who's like, you know, apparently crazy and stuff.
Yeah.
And it's so funny because it's like... I'll make fun of somebody, not fun of somebody, but I'll be like, I can't believe all people are so fixated about the royals. And then I'll go right into talking about, you know, she went to school here and her dad lives right here. And it is fascinating.
It is. It's an interesting time. And I say good for her. You know, people are, she's getting the worst of it. Like, why not pick on, why, they're always just picking on her. But I say good for her. It is a tough transition being an American and moving over to England.
Yeah.
It is, I couldn't imagine how isolated and just weird it feels. Because I feel that way, even though I'm free and nobody cares who
really?
I am.
Like, that's very interesting.
Yeah, it's just a weird, I thought it would be easier because we speak English and... You know, I've been to England a few times. I'm like, oh, it's not going to be that. It has been so difficult. I think Americans have more in common with Italians than they do English people, just because we're really expressive and blunt and emotional. And I'm not saying it's right or better, but it's just the way that it is. So in England, it's very, I guess, repressed and polite and
villagey,
I don't know, people are holding stuff in where we let it out immediately.
Right.
And I sort of miss it.
I could see that.
Yeah.
And so you, just to give everybody some background, you were on tour with your book. You met somebody over there who was a DJ at the station.
Uh-huh.
And in 3 months you married him. Yeah. Is that about it?
Yeah. You got it. Yeah. I was on a book tour and... yeah, I met a guy who is a presenter at BBC, and he interviewed me. Like, I did this 10-minute interview, and then we just started texting, calling, visiting each other. And then within, I think it was 6 months, I had moved over there and married him. It was nuts.
It's so nuts. So you,
bonkers.
The thing is you got a different, another taste of things because you had many life events happening at the same time. You know, you had a move, you had going to a different culture, you had the relationship and the marriage, then you had the loss of your own family, then you had a loss of job. Mm. Am I bringing you down?
Oh my God. No, you get saying, it though. I'm like, are you?
A lot of things happened. Yeah. It wasn't just marrying him.
Oh, God, no. I mean, it was as if I was airdropped by choice. I'm not like a victim of this situation, but I felt like I was airdropped into the forest in England and everything I ever knew was gone.
What's the name of the town?
Well, it's called Tunbridge Wells, Royal Tunbridge Wells. And it's not super small. It's not village is like an exaggeration. It's a city, I guess, a town. But, there's not much culture there. It's great if you have kids and, you know, but it's...
You don't.
No. I want to get out of there.
Where do you want to live?
I don't know. You know, sometimes I want to come back to the States, but I really do want to make it work over there. It's just tough. And you know, London's not too far away. It's a 45-minute train ride, about 20 miles, but 45 on the train. So it's easy to get there, but it's still like a day trip.
Sure. You know, if you have to plan out a whole thing. It's not like you're running down the street.
Exactly. So
it's like living in Valencia. Oh, yeah, sure, you're close to Hollywood. You ain't going to Hollywood.
Yeah.
You get home and we're done.
Exactly. Exactly.
And in England, it's raining.
It's freezing. Windy, rainy, gray for months at a time. Oh,
How often do you see the sun?
like 5 times a year. No, the summers are actually pretty beautiful.
It's quite nice, really.
It's quite nice. It's gorgeous.
Oh, God, you haven't picked up any accent. So what does your husband think about coming over here at some point? I mean, in terms of dividing time and all that.
You know, we've talked a lot about it. I think he's up for it, but... You know,
he'd do great.
I think he would too, but he's more hesitant. And I've always, my entire life, I've been like, yeah, I'll try it. Sure. You know, I moved to New York when I was 20. I just pack up and go. I pretty much, but not everyone's like that. And I sort of respect that he's more measured and responsible.
And he has a good job.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Well, he doesn't. No, he doesn't. It's pure shit. No. He is back on the radio at BBC, and he does some speaking gigs, but nothing real consistent anymore. But so anyway, we're talking about it.
What are you doing over there for work?
Nothing. Well, I have freelance stuff.
Yeah, that's nice.
Yeah, and I've produced a storytelling show, and I'm back in LA trying to sell shows, and so I'm back in the mix, but... It's different, you know? It's not like I'm running... Like, I ran into you the other night, and you're like, oh, come do my podcast. Stuff like that happens all the time in L.A. In England, like, there's no momentum of anything.
I see,
You don't... It's just... It's difficult.
No, I understand. British culture is slower paced, for sure.
Yeah. I mean, in London, I'm sure the art scene and the comedy scene is amazing and just loud personalities and stuff, but it is a little, it's just mellow and calm, and I miss the adrenaline.
Yeah. Well, that's not everywhere, as you know, in America. That's Los Angeles.
Yeah, and New York. Yeah. I like big cities.
And New York, yeah, for sure. Well, anyway, I'm happy that I ran into you. I'm happy I ran into you over at Story Smash. That was really fun that you came.
Such a fun show.
Such a laugh. And I'm super glad you came back on the podcast. So I can't wait to hear your story about volunteering. Because that is always, like, when people are down or they're low or they're depressed or, you know, they need something to do, I always recommend volunteering.
Yeah.
So now I'm worried because I would say volunteer, but it sounds like you have and maybe it didn't work out. So I hope it works out. I'm anxious to hear it. But before we get over to Amber's story, I wanted to remind you guys to follow me on the social medias. You know that. And, you know, I'm not even going to talk about it. We're done. Here's one thing I do want you to do, and then I do it. I do want you guys to follow me on Instagram on Story Smash. That's the key because that's where I have all the pictures of the... shows, of course.
I just liked a bunch of them that you posted.
It's such a laugh. Yeah, it's super funny. So go over there, you guys. Follow me there. And there, that's all I'm going to ask you to do. All right. Okay, you guys, she's here right now, Amber Tozer. She's a writer and an author. You used to write on the animated series for Mad TV. And so do you miss that?
I do. I sort of miss being a part of... a writer's room and going to an office every day and being part of that. But most of my writing has been an isolated experience. You know, the book, I was alone. All the TV pitches I write, it can be very isolating. So I do hope to, like, be a part of a group again.
Yeah, well, you know, you wrote your book, Sober Stick Figure, which was about getting to sobriety.
Mm-hmm.
And so that obviously is your own story.
Yep.
But you do write fiction as well.
Yeah, sometimes.
Now that you have more time because you're in England.
Yeah, I should. You know, I should take more advantage of my situation.
Yeah.
But
well, your tweets are very funny.
Thanks.
You compile those together.
There we go.
Boom, boom, boom. You guys should follow Amber over there on Twitter at Amber Tozer, and then also on Instagram because, you know, for whatever reason. We're required to do both. No, that's not true. I like Twitter a lot more because I like words.
Me too.
And I like wordplay. Pictures, I'm not quite as visual.
Yeah. I like figuring out Twitter's like a puzzle.
Yeah.
Like a riddle. And Instagram's fun, but I prefer Twitter as well.
And Twitter also, it depends on who you follow. Like, mm-hmm. you don't follow somebody who doesn't have something to say.
Right.
So, you know, depending on who you follow, you can really curate a really good feed, as it were. Anyway, you guys, wherever you are, she's here right now. Put your hands together for Amber Tozer. Yay.
Okay, so this happened last year. Yeah, so I've been in England for a while, right? A couple of years, and I'm bored. I'm losing my mind. And a friend of mine who, she's this really sweet woman. She's the governor of this school in my town. And she's really sweet, and I'm just like, oh, I'm so bored. I need something to do. She's like, why don't you volunteer at the school that I work for? It's for, you know, troubled teens, you know, special needs. Some of them have autism. Some of them have just behavioral issues. Some of them come from broken homes. Some of them, there's a wide spectrum. But basically, this school is the last stop for these kids because they've been kicked out of every other school. You know, people don't know what to do with them, so they end up here. And I'm like, all right, yeah, sure. I'll volunteer. So I show up, and they match me up with the music teacher. I'll call him Nick. And Nick, I don't know, I think he's in his early 40s, and I think he's a burnt-out musician, but now he just wants to help the kids. You know, he's, like, super cool. And he's great. The kids love him, but I think he wants to be loved by the kids more than he wants to teach them, because the kids will be like, yo, Nick, I brought a knife to school. And he's like, yeah, knuckle taps, you know, instead of being like, so he really, he's a little too cool. But I really liked working with him. And one day, and just to give you a sense of the school, these kids, they're great, but it's unbelievable. I walked into the classroom on the first day, and this kid goes, he's like, get the fuck out of here. You're old. And I was like, oh, this is the most exciting thing that's happened to me in England. I love it here. I love it. So I'm really into this crazy, this crazy school. But Nick one day invites me to a music show that's happening in the town over, the town next to us. I don't want to give away names and be too specific because I don't know, you know, whatever. So this posh town next to us with this posh school, like, this is the school in Kent to go to. It costs, it's a high school essentially, but it costs like 60 grand to go to. It's super expensive. It's private. It's really fancy. And he says, well, a few of our boys from music class have been invited to play along in this music program. They're going to play the African drums in a couple of songs. And if you want to go, it's happening tonight. And I was like, yeah, I'll be there. I'm not doing anything else. So I go to this super posh school. And the campus is beautiful. It's like an Ivy League American school. I mean, the buildings are beautiful. There's a huge soccer field or football pitch. It's amazing. And so the show is happening in this chapel, this beautiful chapel. And it's a sort of a long, thin building. And the stage, quote-unquote stage, is at the end of it. And so to get up to the stage, you have to walk through this long path, and the pews are lined up alongside of it. And there's hundreds of parents and, like, rich, white families, and all these kids are in uniforms. And our boys, there's, like, six of our kids from our school. And their hair's messed up. There's, like, stains on their pants. Their shoes are untied. They're just this ragtag group of high school boys. And we're all sitting in the back. And so I sit down and I look at the program. And the show is about 2 hours long. And we are the second to last performers. And so we're sitting there and it's like, the show starts and they're playing classical music. Like, they're playing the violins and the flutes. And I'm like, this shit is fucking boring. And I look over at the boy. I'm like, how are they going to sit here for... There's no way these kids are going to last. And I look over and they're doing fine. And then I get mad at myself for judging them. You know, I'm like, give them a chance, Amber. You know, I'm just like in my own head beating myself up for judging them. But sure enough, like 15, 20 minutes in, they start kicking off. These boys are hitting each other. They're making fart noises. They just start losing their minds. So they're being really disruptive. So Nick takes them outside. So So I just stay in and I'm like, all right, good. They're going to go get some fresh air. And so I continue to watch this really boring music show. I mean, these kids, I'm like, what are you doing? You flute players, violin, and it's classical. It's like, and they're good, you know? And I'm like, oh man. So then all of a sudden one of the kids, Shane, I'll call him Shane. He runs in and he's like, Amber, Tyler just ran away. We don't know where he is. We need your help. And I'm like, what? So I run outside and Nick's like, Tyler ran away. We have no idea where he is. And then he's like, so I sent two other kids to go find him. I'm like, what? Nick, now three kids are missing? So kids are missing. The show continues. We're outside trying to find these kids. And luckily the two boys that were sent came back and they're like, we can't find Tyler. We don't know where he is. So now Tyler's just gone. So the clock is ticking, you know, and a couple of other people from the school are there. The headmaster's there, and he's like, I gotta call the cops because he's been missing for quite a while now. This is a safety issue. We gotta call the police. And just as he's getting ready to call the police, a parent comes out of the chapel completely unaware of what's happening, and he's like, isn't it a lovely night? Isn't this show just brilliant? Without skipping the beat, the headmaster, who's about to call the cops, is like, yes, yes, it's a great night. Lovely, brilliant, brilliant, lovely. And I'm like, that is like, that sums up England in a moment. Because if that was an American exchange and the parent came out, the headmaster would have, or the principal would have been like, oh, this is fucking crazy. We lost a kid. We're calling the cops. You know, there would have just been like this honest emotion coming up. But anyway, everyone's pretending it's fine. So I don't know, I just started cracking up because I was like, oh my god, nobody's honest around here. So he's getting ready to call the cops, and just then Tyler pops out from behind a bush, and he's like, I'm here, it's fine, I'm back, and so we're like, oh, thank God, where'd you go? Because we gotta perform. We gotta be on stage soon. And he's like, oh, I just went to the high street. This show's boring. I don't wanna fucking be here. This place sucks. And so Tyler is like, I'm not performing. And a couple of the other kids start to get nervous because they're like, Tyler's one of the best drummers. We need him in the show. And pretty soon we are next on stage. Like, we are the next act. And Nick starts to get weird. He's like, yeah, I don't think we're going to be able to do it. I'm like, he's like, I think we have to pull out of the show. And I'm like, Nick, I'm like, you got to set it. I turned into Tony Robbins. I was like, you got to get in there and you got to set an example. You know, you need to be solid right now. These kids need to perform. He's like, I don't know. I don't think we could do it. This is crazy. I don't think we should have. And then all of a sudden, Tyler goes, I'll do it. I'm going to do it. I'm going to be in the show. And all the kids are like, yeah, let's do it. So now it's on, you know, they are up. And they slowly walk up to the stage. They join like 10 other posh kids. They get behind the African drums and they nail it. They play two songs. And these kids are so talented. They are so good. And I'm sitting in the back and I'm like, this is amazing. And none of these parents, nobody knows just what happened. Nobody knows the shit show that happened moments before. And I look over at the headmaster and he is just beaming. I start crying. They played two beautiful songs. And as they're walking back, I am losing my mind. I'm like, yes! Everyone's looking at me like I'm crazy. But I am losing my mind with joy for these boys. They are so happy. They nailed it. And there's one last song after this. So we all go outside and we are just hugging and high-fiving. And it is just the most beautiful thing ever. So, I don't know. That's the most exciting thing that happened to me in England. But I just thought it was like a classic underdog story. And it's just, you know, one of the most exciting and beautiful things that I've experienced since I've been over there.
I think that is so beautiful.
Oh,
I mean, maybe you were meant to be like a mentor, a teacher. You know what I mean? It sounds like maybe you're meant for that.
Maybe. I don't know.
Well, I think. I mean, I think those are the endorphins that kick in if you realize you did something that was, you know, something that you do well and you... You know, it got completed and you taught somebody something, right?
Yeah, but I didn't feel like I did anything there. I just was like there, you know.
Yeah, but your presence and you help them and you help Nick. I mean, if you weren't there, he wouldn't have gotten it together.
Yeah, I don't know.
What did that kid Tyler say?
Well, you know, Tyler's pretty autistic. He's pretty, you know, impacted by autism, even though he's verbal He just was happy after.
Yeah.
But it just took him a while.
So they don't have one-on-one helpers, as it were?
Some do, but from what I experience in volunteering there, but I'm only in the music class, so I'm not, you know, I'm not with them in math and science and stuff like that. But I don't know. It's just an amazing school that sort of is like, yeah, we'll help you out the best we can.
That's amazing. So are you going to do more of it?
I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, well, when I first got sober, I started working with kids with special needs. So I sort of took a break from stand-up and comedy just because, you know, I was like...
You need to fill your soul again.
Well, yeah. I'm like, I need to be in a position where I don't demand positive feedback.
Well, it's just, it really feels good to give back. And it just gives you a really special feeling for sure. Hang on one second. What is that? What's something's beep? Somebody,
I think a big garbage truck is going in reverse.
Hold on one second. So what's the difference between a governor and a headmaster? What are those?
The governor's more like somebody's on like the school board. Mm. So they're not there on a daily basis.
Oh, they're not in the school.
No, they go in, but they're on the board and they help make decisions, where the headmaster is more like a principal who's there every single day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I also think that, you know, obviously kids in arts, that always works in terms of, you know, getting them to, I don't know. I mean, like, well, maybe that's because my daughter goes to an art school and I just feel like it's such a way to, you know, bond kids together. I don't know if you ever did musical theater, all that little stuff at schools is very, it's, to me, it's so much more beneficial than sports. I mean, if you have to choose, if you could do both, right. I guess that's
best. Well, I think it depends on what you're into as a kid.
I know, but even if, let's say, you're not into musical theater or you're not into performing African drums or you're not into going to chorus or music class, if you try it, you might be surprised.
Right.
I mean, music is just this thread that some people aren't connected to, but if you give them a little boost, help them connect, then mm-hmm. they'll have it, I don't know.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, I agree. I mean, Nick does so well because the kids love music. Like, when in between classes, they go and they sit at the piano or they just go and, like, mess around on the drums. And it's just the safe, really cool place for them to hang out.
And it's productive. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, it's productive. At the talent show, it was reminding me about that movie About a Boy with... Hugh Grant.
Oh, yes. I haven't seen that for ages.
Such a great movie. It's still a good movie. It holds up.
And it sort of reminds me of Sing Street. Did you see Sing Street?
No, huh?
It's about a band of misfits that joined. I think it was in England. Yeah, it was based in England, but a bunch of teenage boys just sort of form a band. You should watch it. It's really,
I love that.
It's really cute.
I think it's adorable. And then now there's another show on called Schooled.
I haven't seen it.
There's another show on called Schooled. It's on after the Goldbergs on Wednesday nights. I'm saying this like, you know, American television. And you're over there watching the telly. And you're watching the football. Anyway, this show Schooled, it's the same idea, though. You know, that it's the schools, it's teachers. And there always is a touching moment. And sometimes I roll my eyes. But then I sometimes think like, well, I guess that is the way it is. And you just described it. Like, that kind of a moment. Where you do, it's almost like having an epiphany, like, oh, look at that. I can be touched.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's nice.
I know. And it's so funny. It's like that living over there, there is an innocence about England.
There really is.
You know, as much as I complain about, you know, being bored or, you know, just not fitting in, there is something about the English culture where everyone... They might not be so, like, animated and upfront, but they are really loyal. I find, like, English people, once you get past whatever front they have, like, they mm-hmm. are just the loveliest, and I've made really, really, really good friends. It hasn't been super easy. Like in America, you could just all of a sudden become best friends with somebody that you met at the grocery store, but then like 2 days later you find out they're psycho.
Yeah.
you know
that's very true.
You know, you're like, oh my god, I met my soulmate. But then, you know
I always say, if you can get one friend a year, you're a rich person. And like, I've lived in LA for 22 years and I have about 22 good friends. Yeah. So we can add up, which is nice.
Right.
But I spent some time in England because I dated a guy over there from Southampton. And I do know what you mean in terms of their civility. And everything is brilliant. It's quite brilliant, yeah. Really. Who's for tea? It's brilliant. You know, everything's brilliant. And
You can do a good accent.
Yeah, sometimes. I just couldn't get past the food was hard for me.
Yeah.
And the weather, the climate, yeah, because it's not just that it's cold and damp, but there's not that much daylight, it seems.
It's brutal. It is brutal.
That's tough.
I think it's, but for English people, that's all they know, so they just sort of carry on with it. But when you move there from California, that's because you know,
yeah,
there's a better way.
I know what you mean. No, I do. I know what you mean, because when I go back to Pittsburgh, my brother always says, honey, you see this weather? We choose it. I said, yeah, you do, Scotty. And I don't know what's wrong with you. Anyway, let me talk to your husband and maybe we can,
Oh, you should have him on. He's a great storyteller.
Well, have him on and talk him into coming over here to California.
We'll have, he's got a really, he's worth it. As much as I complain, the reason why I do is because he's a really, really good guy, and I think we'll find a proper compromise as far as geography goes. So,
and now that you're using words like proper, I think you might be right. No, it's very, very beautiful, and it's romantic, and I still think of your wedding pictures because you wore red shoes. Weren't you wearing red shoes? Am I crazy?
No, I had a red shawl. But in like a maroonish. Well, which one? Because we had two. We had one in England.
The one in England where you're on the ground and like.
Oh, yeah. I had. I wore boots and high heels because we had to walk a lot. So I put on boots. But I had. I think you're thinking of the red shawl because there was red.
You were so cute. Oh, thank you.
Thanks.
It is such a romantic story. And you have made good friends over there, right?
Yes.
Have you had to learn to drink tea like 7 times a day?
I love it. I love tea.
Why do they drink so much tea?
I ask because it's so cold over there that you.
Oh, I see.
I don't know. I just think it's something to do. It's almost like. I guess we drink a lot of coffee over here.
That's the same thing.
You want to go have a cup of coffee? But it's the first thing that English people do. I think the first thing Americans do is talk. We talk about ourselves or we're just like, meh. When you go over there, it's just like, let's have a cup of tea and pretend.
And decompress.
And yeah, we'll just, I don't know. I should
do
some research.
A gnome in your garden?
No.
That always seemed to be a thing. Is that true or not?
I don't know.
I remember. Do you go 10-pin bowling?
No.
Do you know what I'm talking about?
No. Ten-pin bowling?
Ten-pin.
Oh, 10-pin bowling. Is that just regular bowling?
It's bowling.
Oh, yeah.
But over there, they call it 10-pin.
Oh, okay.
I don't know why.
I haven't heard that.
And what's up, can you get good pizza? I know these are all really stereotypical.
Not really. No, it's...
You get good Indian food.
Good Indian food. Great Thai food. Great sushi. Great French food.
Oh, that's good.
You can get a decent burger, pizza, Italian food, and Mexican food. Absolutely not.
Too bad.
Yeah, it is. It is a shame.
Isn't that funny. It seems so silly. If you have a tortilla and you have cheese,
they can't
and
figure
you have
it
salsa.
Out. They cannot figure it out.
That is funny. Well, listen, I am so happy that I ran into you here in Los Angeles.
Thanks for having
me over. It's just really great to catch up and to know that you're doing well.
Yeah.
And you know you're always welcome to come back to the USA. We're here.
Thank you.
And sorry about, you probably have to explain the Trump thing, and that must be embarrassing as hell.
Well, now they have Boris, so it's like.
Yeah, true.
But it is amazing how they sort of will tread lightly about it, being like, do you like him? And I'm like, no, no, a lot of us don't. So there, I don't think they know who and what kind of people are into him and not. So that's
they can't separate it.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh man, well, it's not hard.
Yeah, yeah.
Anyway, listen, thank you so much for coming.
Sure, thanks for
having
me. I love
you to death. Yay.
Thank you.
All right, you guys, I want to thank you so much again for tuning in today. Make sure you find Amber over there on Twitter at Amber Tozer. You've got a lot of fans.
Yeah.
A lot. I don't know if it's fans or followers, but people love your Twitter feed. It's great.
Yeah, it's fun.
Good. And then follow me over there as well at Storyworthy. All right, you guys, one more time on behalf of the very talented Amber Tozer, tally-ho.
Adios.
Adios. I'm happy to see you, man. Thank you.
Thank you.
My name is Christine Blackburn saying, make it a story-worthy week.
Thanks for joining us on the Storyworthy Podcast. We'll be back next week with all new stories. Subscribe to Storyworthy on iTunes and visit the Storyworthy website at storyworthypodcast.com.